I really feel like that I have come today with a message from the Lord. I believe it's a message that God has given me. This may be, I've been to quite a few places since we were here. I think it was in January we were here. And we've been to quite a few places since we were here last. Not because I'm an evangelist. I'm not a traveling preacher. It's just that they're just places God sends us. And I've had a message that he gave me that I have preached in every local church that I've been probably since I was here last. This may be my fifth or sixth time to preach what I'm going to preach to you today. Do I have anything else? You know, I do. I do. There's a lot of things that you can say, but it's not just coming up here and giving you a sermon. That doesn't help you. It's bringing a now word, like we heard just a moment ago, challenging us about not just wanting God to clean our heart, but there are some things we're responsible for. And to have a renewed spirit, a renewed attitude, a right attitude. Not just when we walk in this building, but when we walk out of this building, when we go home, when we are with our family, with our wives, with our husbands, with our children, with our parents. And pastor said, and I mean, he didn't give me a name, so I don't know who I may be talking to. Maybe he did give me a name, but if he did, I forgot it. But and I took it as a compliment, not as a criticism. But I guess somebody asked him, who is preaching for you while you're gone this weekend? And he told him my name. He said, oh, I don't like it when he comes. There's something to that effect. He always gets me or something. I don't remember. I took it. He wasn't. It wasn't meant to be a criticism. It was. If it was a criticism, I took it as a compliment. Because the last thing I want to do is to just tell you what you want to hear. I know the messages that have had the greatest impact in my life have been the ones that have moved me to my face. Caused me to go home and reevaluate, to look at what I'm doing, how I'm living, where I'm going. And so I don't know if this message today will affect you in that regard or not, but I do have a very direct message from the Lord today. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Brother Brad, thank you for your team back there in the booth. You guys minister continually and are awesome. Appreciate you so much. Our sound people sometimes don't get the recognition. Our praise team sometimes don't get the recognition. I had to go by our building this morning to get some things because when we leave here, we're after Ashtabula, we're headed to Cincinnati, and we'll be there all week. And got there at 8 o'clock, and there was the praise team already there. Service didn't start till 10, but they're working, they're practicing, they're doing their best. People that come early, people that serve, and sometimes they're just taken for granted. We need to love them, honor them. You guys are all amazing. I started to look around, but they're all down on the floor. So, Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 29, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. You should notice that statement. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Verse 27. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. Here's why. That is, things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken shall remain. That, I want to repeat that last statement again. That is, things that have been made in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. I think King James says everything that can be shaken, so that that which is true may remain. Therefore, and as you've probably heard me say or pastor say, whenever you see a therefore or a wherefore, you always go to the preceding verse to find out what the therefore is there for. Because of what was just said, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, into your hands we commend our spirit to be used as your oracle. We trust you, Lord. We trust your sovereignty. We trust your direction. And Lord, we trust your people. I believe there are people in this sanctuary today that genuinely want to hear direction from you. Lord, they're willing to make changes. They're willing to do what they hear if they hear what's needed to do. Help me to say the things that matter today. We pray for Pastor and Sister Arderi in their absence. Use them mightily today, Lord, to bless the work that they're at. And Lord, help us to say the things today that will benefit your kingdom and this local church specifically. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. At the close of 2019, there was a fresh passion lit in me that I had not felt for a long, long time. The best way I know how to describe it was an anxious expectation. If you ever had been anxious, just this, you had an expectation of something and you felt the anxiety of it. It's the best way I know how to explain it. I knew that we were about to enter into a new decade. And as the founder of Purpose Institute, and then as well as the founder and the bishop of our local church in Canton, as well as the network of congregations that we have, they were certainly at the top of my mind. However, I can say without hesitation that my expectations and my vision expanded far beyond PI, far beyond the Apostolics of Canton, far beyond its network, but for the possibilities for the Apostolic Church worldwide. I have had the privilege of traveling probably close to 50 nations. And I can tell you that God is doing a sovereign work around the world. Then in the first week of January 2020, we had our first Purpose Institute Directors Meeting of the new decade. I challenged our directors to earnestly and strategically look at the next 5 years to the point that I felt that the next 5 years could surpass what had been accomplished in the entire 25 years prior. Now, admittedly, that was a very bold statement to make. Some may think it was downright stupid. Even in the best of times, little did I realize, however, in just 2 short months, we would be facing a worldwide pandemic that would literally shut down the world. Now, 2 years later, as it looks like COVID may finally be coming to an end, now we are facing a very real possibility of World War III. I don't claim to be the most spiritually sensitive person in the world. I do my best, however, to be spiritually sensitive to what God is doing and both in and through the church. Like the sons of Issachar, I sincerely desire to have understanding of our times. Admittedly, however, COVID was not on my radar. Did I just miss God? Did I lose my spiritual senses? Well, only God, I guess, really knows that answer truly. I did, however, have multiple conversations with several people that I felt were very spiritually sensitive to the Lord. We all agreed that it's hard to believe that something so big that would literally impact the entire world would have taken so many of us by surprise as it did. I had no one tell me, not one. I knew it was coming. Well, I knew it was coming. I heard the Lord tell me it was coming. Not one person has ever said that to me. Now, admittedly, maybe none of you had those thoughts. Maybe none of you have even thought or even considered those things. I remember meeting with our Purpose Institute directors for our mid-year meeting in August of 2020. I was seeking God for that meeting, and I'd felt that God challenged me with the very question I'm going to ask you and is the title of my message this morning. So what's changed? What's changed? First of all, it was already prophesied by the Apostle Paul that everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. But what's the purpose of the shaking? Is it just coincidence? Now, we know, and I've ministered to this church on multiple occasions, that everything that happens in life is not good. It's not. However, everything works for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Regardless of the reason behind the pandemic, or even now this senseless, terrible war where so many people are suffering, and all the horrific things that are taking place, the Bible does give us insight on why God either uses events like this or at minimum allows events like this. According to the scripture, shakings reveal what is true. I've often said, and I believe it, I've heard it said that crisis will make people. I don't believe that. I believe crisis reveals people. Crisis reveals what we're made of and who really is the Lord of our life. Is COVID-19 or this current war that has come on the heels of it the actual once more shaking that the Apostle Paul and the writer of Hebrews talked about? Many believe it is. There is no doubt we are living in the last days. I have never personally seen the world so united. I now see very clearly how an Antichrist could come on the scene. I now can see very clearly how one world government is going to be the reality before it's all said and done. I'm not sure, personally, that this is that once more shaking. It very well could be. I am convinced, however, that it is a prelude to it. If you have not been awakened yet, you need God. I have no idea what you're waiting for. This church has been invested in the work in Ukraine. And for that, I say thank you. I remember talking to Pastor Arderi and Pastor Sergei and encouraging him. I just felt like it just may be God for this church to become involved. The pastor that you heard this morning, I prayed him through to the Holy Ghost on my very first trip to Ukraine in 1997. He may have been about 14 years old at the time. And at the end of my message, I saw him doing what I'm not in this church, I know, but sometimes people that play in church orchestras can hide in the orchestra and it avoids them, keeps them from having to go to the altar. I can tell you I've had many experiences when my pastor would come to me. And I'm sitting over there just playing my guitar and doing my little deal and having my pastor come over to me. Hey, son, I think you need to just lay the guitar down and go to the altar. I thought, oh, he knows again. Sergey was on the piano. That whole family is incredibly musical. And he was on the piano playing for, I had just dismissed or just gave the altar call. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And I walked over to him and I just said, son, I think you need the Holy Ghost. And he got up and it was just a matter of moments. He was speaking in tongues. He could be in America right now. He could be in some of our larger churches. But he felt God spoke to him very specifically that he was to give up his possibility of being an American citizen and raise that work up in Ukraine. And I want to tell you, he and his family, they are impacting that entire region. And two of the sons lived with my wife and I for 3 years and did internship with us. One of them is assisting Pastor Nick Strange in Massillon, Ohio. The other, however, Sasha, is assisting his brother in Ukraine. And these are like our kids. My wife and I have been to Ukraine every year since 1997. We've spent months there. We've made multiple trips in the year there. We have great relationships all over that country with multiple pastors there. And to see what they're dealing with right now, it grieves us. Our heart breaks for them. We can sometimes be so removed because, after all, we're in America. I want to tell you, America's a mess right now. And America needs God. But I want to tell you, there is a shaking going on right now. Regardless of this prophetical position that we read about, regardless of it, whatever your prophetical position may be about the last days, there are two key points that we need to know that are absolutely true. Number one, God has allowed COVID-19. I didn't say he was the cause of it, but I said he's allowed it. He's also allowed this war that we are all watching in real time. Never in history have we seen it like this. Never in history. We've seen pictures, we've seen photos, we've seen videos, but never in history could we see it literally as it's taking place. And because I know that God has allowed it, I know that it's true. I sincerely believe he will continue to allow it, and here's the point, until his purpose is fulfilled. Be sure of one thing. Make no mistake about it. This war has spiritual implications to it, and God is going to be glorified. God used wicked and even dictators throughout time to accomplish his purpose. And much of the reason is because nations have turned their back on God, including this one. We still say on our money system, in God we trust. But I'm sorry, it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to put it on a banner. It's another thing to live it. And as I heard said this week, I love this country. I've had the privilege, my wife and I have had the privilege of traveling this world. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. And yes, I can tell you, I don't have enough fingers and toes to tell you how many times when we got back to America, I said, thank God to be home. Thank God to be on this nation. I love our nation. I served in the military. Probably many of you in this room have served. Thank God for your service. Thank you for what you've done. But you and I have to be reminded of something like I was reminded this week. What about this world do we really relate to? Abraham, the Bible said, looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. What in this world do we as the church really connect to? God forbid it's Hollywood. We joke about sports. I told my wife this morning, I said, I love Brother Ardery. I just didn't wish he just didn't root for the Steelers. We love our sports teams. But I don't know about you, but how many times have you visited one of the arenas only to have four-letter words being shouted all around you? Little kids in the stands. Alcohol slopping everywhere. And I sat there and I don't belong here. I don't belong here. If you're not bothered by it, something's wrong. If you're not bothered by the perversion, if you're not bothered by transvestism, I'm not criticizing people. I love people. But I want to tell you, we've got a law and we've got a word that we've got to embrace. And the church is going to have answers for it. I'm not criticizing people. I love people. But our world is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. There is a shaking that is taking place right now. And regardless if it's the shaking or there's one coming, I want to tell you, there ought to be something about God in His Word that ought to reveal in us what we really are and who we really are. Is this too strong? I'm not apologizing today for the Word of God. And if you think what I'm preaching is funny, something's wrong with your spirit. There is a greater truth we need to know that I believe God wants us to understand here this morning. If you are born again of water and spirit, and you believe God's word, you belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let me read it again. Verse 28. Therefore, let us be, notice this, grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And because of that, let us offer to God acceptable worship. I'm not talking about praising in this sanctuary. How much you jump and shout in here doesn't impress me. And it doesn't impress God. Worship goes beyond praise. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You know what that means? You could come straight out of a bar room and walk into this building and begin to shout and dance because the music is moving you. I'm going to tell you what we're called to. We're called to be true worshipers. Worship is not something you do in this building. Worship is what you do on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. Worship's what you do in the dark when no one's looking. Worship's what you do when you're by yourself and no one's around. God is looking for true worshipers because we're a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Let's lift our hands all over the house right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. She torobo kotataraba hasha. Ili mandorobo kotatayaraba boko shataraba haya. Ramondorobo koshatayaraba haya. In the name of Jesus. Worship is how you live. Worship is how you dress. Worship is what you walk, what you watch. Worship is how you talk. Worship are the places you go. I don't do some things, not because somebody told me not to do it. I don't do it because He is worthy of my worship. God challenged me with the question, so what's changed? I was immediately reminded of the verse we read in our opening text, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and as far as you can see in the future. Hear me, please. The mission and the vision of the Apostolic Church has not changed. This is true locally, and this is true globally. I told my brothers and sisters in Ukraine the other day, living under the direct attack by the Russian army as we speak. Regardless of what happens, Sergey, you've got to be the church. Regardless of what happens, you've got to lead your people and you've got to tell your people they've got to be the church. Some of them have had their windows blown out of their houses, laid in basements for days with no heat, no food. Can you imagine not knowing when a missile is going to drop on your head? And I said this to Sergey. I said, God has divinely positioned you to be where you are at this strategic moment in time. I went on to say, this war, as bad as it is, just may usher in the greatest harvest of souls the history of the church has ever known. And I'm not just talking about Ukraine. I'm talking about worldwide. You know why? Because the world is shaken. The world is shaking right now. Fear is consuming the world. What do you do when you're shaken? You look for a safe place. You look for a safe place. I'm going to tell you, God is already opening doors for them. Their ministry. One pastor, our pastor, everybody over there is called Sergey. Our pastor Sergey in Odessa. To this date, they haven't done anything to Odessa. It's a naval port. The news is scratching their heads. Can't figure out why. Somebody came up with a theory. Well, Catherine the Great, she was there, and there's ancient buildings there, and Mr. Putin, because of his love for history and love for her, they've chosen to keep it safe. They can believe that if they want to. Here's what I know is going on. I know right after the war broke out, that pastor opened that church up on Sunday. That building up on Sunday. People are hiding. People are afraid. Do you know what happened, Elder? The church filled up. It was standing room only. You know who were there? It wasn't just church folks. It was packed with unsaved people looking for a safe place. The altars have been flooded. People giving their lives to God. Pastor Sergey, he's opening in. He's preaching 2-3 churches. His dad opened doors. God is doing some amazing stuff. We can look at all the horrific things that's going on. But I want to tell you, God is doing a sovereign work. Yes, we're praying for the safety and the protection of the people. But we also are praying that God will give them courage, and great boldness to be who they are called and divinely positioned to be. My brothers and sisters of this great church that we are sitting in this morning, this great building, and this church family that we are with this morning. Those of you that are watching online, hear me now. The Word of God has not changed. And as bad as things may appear, we have an amazing promise from God that we must never forget. And I've already talked about it, but let me read it to you again. Romans 8 and 28. And we know, if I say we know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I tell us in the fear of God this morning, the governing principles that are established by God's Word and that I know are preached from this pulpit every time you gather has not changed. The apostolic truth that this local church was founded on still matters. Repentance still matters. Baptism in Jesus' name still matters. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, still matters. The undeniable truth that there is one God and His name is Jesus, it still matters. Hey, I don't care that it's 2022. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God still matters. Loving God and loving people are still the two greatest commandments found in the Word of God. Why? Because first and foremost, and the thing that I love about this local church, is that you are people-focused and not program-focused. It's not about our programs. It's not about our buildings, with or without pandemics, with or without persecution, with or without wars. It's about people. It's about loving people. And so I ask the question today, so what's changed? So what's changed? On Sunday morning in August of 2020, at our home church in Canton, Ohio, sweet presence of God swept into that sanctuary in such a powerful way. I melted at my seat on the platform. The best way I know how to describe it, there was such a cleansing presence of God. You ever just been in those services, those, I call them God moments, where there's just that cleansing presence of the Lord. We had a moment like that just this past Friday morning, early morning. Just that sweet presence of the Lord just comes in, and you just feel that cleansing, and you're weeping, and it's not a weeping of sorrow, it's a weeping of joy. It's that present cleansing that God, only God can do. And I melted there at my seat. And tears began flowing down my cheeks in ways that I had not felt since the pandemic had started. If I ever heard the voice of the Lord speak to me, I heard it that morning. I grabbed my notepad and my pen. I began to write as God spoke, and I sincerely believe what He said to me that morning has as much importance to you this morning as it did that morning. And here's what God said to me. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. You have my word. You have my spirit. You have my continual presence. Please, please, just do what you know you are supposed to do. Somebody asked me the other day about children. You know, do we baptize them? Don't we baptize them? And I was talking to them about the age of accountability. You know, there's a unique scripture. It's a unique scripture. He that knoweth to do good and does it not, Him, it is sin. No age limit put to that. Just when you know you're supposed to do something, you do it. Because if you don't, you're living in sin. If you know you need to repent of your sins, just do it. If you know you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, what are you waiting for? Just do it. If you know you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, what are you waiting for? If you know you need to clean your life up, clean out your closets, clean out what you watch, maybe get rid of what you listen to. Let me give you a little secret to some of you that are transitioning into some things right now. Don't put it in a closet. Burn it. Throw it away. Get rid of it. You know why you do that? Because you're going to have a weak moment. You're going to have a challenging moment. And if it's still in your access, in those weak moments, you'll draw back to those things. I'm not your pastor. I know that. And I'm meddling right now. I'm where pastors fear to tread. But I feel so strongly led of the Spirit here today. I'm not naming stuff. That's between you and God. Do you know to do it? Then do it. Do you know it's not good? Then get rid of it. Come on, he that knoweth, she that knoweth to do good, and you don't do it? Well, I'm going to wait, Pastor, till God deals with me about it. Is it here? Can you read? You don't need a spoken word, some sign written across the sky. And let me give some word to somebody here. You've been in church, raised in church, went out. I'm one of them. I relate. Such were some of me. Let me tell you something. When you come back to God, you can't come back like you're a new convert. You can't come back and act as if, well, you know, I'm just kind of making my way back in. Don't work that way. If God has drawn you back to the house of God, if He's refilled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then I want to tell you, He expects you to go all the way. He expects you to walk in the obedience that you know to walk before you ever walked out the door. I'm not suggesting we ignore our current reality or act as if this pandemic hasn't been real or this war isn't real. I'm not suggesting we act as if people haven't gotten sick, that people haven't died either by COVID or live bullets or landmines or bombs or missiles. But neither should we see ourselves or the mission God has called us to be less important to God in His plan. Because this is 2021. It's been many years since you first came to God. I'm sorry, 2022. Because this is 2022. Maybe it's many years gone by since you first made your way to an altar. I want to tell you, if you laid things at this altar, why have you picked them back up? I have a photo in my, I don't even know what they call it, but an artist was in our church, did it. It's part painting or drawing and part picture, and is it a collage where they bring them all together? And it's a unique picture. It has a picture of a big bull. And then there's this, looks like a hand of some kind that works in a farm and holding this young calf, kind of steering his arms or her arms or whatever. And I remember I was sitting at my desk one day and I was just kept looking at that picture. And the Lord spoke to me, said, "Don't forget to kill the bull." I thought, that's an interesting statement. And He took me back to the Old Testament tabernacle plan and the offering of the blood sacrifice and the priest going in and offering the blood behind the veil. But to the altar, the brazen altar, where those sacrifices are slain. It was interesting. In my mind and in all my studies, I missed a big, big point. I always thought it was the priest that killed the animal. I always thought that depending on the sin, depended on the sacrifice they bought, whether it was a turtle dove or lamb or whatever, But I always thought that they brought that animal and they presented it to the priest. Of course, it was a confession of their sins. And the priest then took the sacrifice, put it on the altar, tied it down, slayed it, cut it up, killed it, and burned it. But as I began to study it, I found out that's not true. It was not the priest's responsibility to kill the animal at all. It was the sinner, it was the person that brought the animal to the priest. It was their responsibility to take the knife and slice the throat and slay that animal. And how many times have we brought our offering to the Lord? Laid it down. Lord, I'll never do this again. God, I give you this. I give you my children. I give you my finances. I give you my checkbook. I give you that thing that I've been struggling with. I give you. I give you. I give you. And we weep tears and we shed tears and they stream highways down our cheeks and we lay them on the altar with great intentions. But as we get up and we walk away, we think, oh yeah. And we pick it back up. And we take it back home. And the Lord said, don't forget to kill the bull. Don't forget to slay that thing so that it no longer has life. And then leave it right there at the altar. Because the altar fire is going to fall. And it's going to consume it. Why? Our Lord, our God, is a consuming fire. Why do you think it is that God wills that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we don't just receive a spiritual gift and talk in tongues, but we are to receive the Holy Ghost? John baptized with water, but he that come after me, shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. Why? Because the fire burns up, consumes what isn't clean. Have you ever known anything about gold or silver or any type of metal purification? Why do they put so much heat to it? Because the more heat, the hotter it gets. What does it do? It causes all the impurities to come to the top. So those impurities can be skimmed off. And the purer gold is, the more soft and pliable it is. God wants us to come out of whatever fiery trial we may deal with as what? Pure gold. What are they designed to do? What's the fire designed to do? It's designed to purify us. It's designed to cleanse us. I want to tell you, I'm thankful you speak with tongues. But my question is, do you have the fire? I'm thankful that you can come in and come around this altar and talk in tongues. But my question is there any fire burning on the inside of you? Can God talk to you and then you go home and make immediate changes? Maybe even radical changes. Why? Because the fire of God has done a cleansing work in us. I want to tell you something today. You're as important to God and to His eternal plan as you were when the Arderys were sent here to Northeast Ohio and planted a church 20 years ago. Greatest days are yet to come if you'll understand that regardless of what kind of shaking this world experiences, you're a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I appeal to you today in the fear of God. Regardless of how long you've been a part of the church or associated with this local church, that you must not expect to be less connected moving forward. COVID tried to isolate the church. I don't know, but there may be people right now that's still watching online because they're scared to death to come and be a part of the fellowship. The enemy tries to take things like this to bring as much fear and confusion as he possibly can. Why? Because when we become focused and driven through fear, we become self-focused, self-agended. I remember laying on my face in Budapest, Hungary, praying about getting ready to start a meeting in 1997. There were 13 different nations from Eastern Europe represented there. And at that time, there was still a Yugoslavia. Now it's Serbia. But the Lord gave me a prophetic word for them. It scared me to death when He gave it to me. But I was to prophesy to them and tell them that war was coming to their nation again. How would you like to have to say that? But here's what He said to me. The reason the enemy uses war is because it causes people to hide. And it stops evangelism. The reason the enemy will use things like COVID and use situations like that is because it turns our focus inward. What happens when you're in war? What happens when you know, it's all about us? So we just hide away, get in this protective mindset. Build walls around us. Don't let anybody touch us. What do we do with the Bible that says that we should lay hands on the sick? Oh, don't touch me. Do I just ignore those things? Do I just act as if God was an idiot and He didn't know what He was saying? Or could there be an agenda out there that the enemy has? I'm convinced of this. I said this the other day in ministry. The enemy would be very happy and very content for you to be saved as long as you don't affect anybody else. Would you lift your hands right now? God's there's a convicting presence of the Lord in this room right now. Come on, open your voice. I'm not done yet, but just hang in here just a few more moments. Come on, in Jesus' name. I realize some of you are really struggling with this message right now. Some of you flat out don't like what I've been preaching right now. But God loves you enough to tell you the truth. In the name of Jesus. And I'm telling this church prophetically. Don't expect to be less connected. Don't expect to witness less. Don't expect to see less baptisms. Don't expect to see fewer people receiving the Holy Ghost. Fewer people being healed. Fewer open doors because of this current crisis. I'm going to tell you, just the opposite is true. Why? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's never lowered His plan. Not for a moment. I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Get behind your pastor as he leads and plans for what he expects God to do. If you expect the next 5 years to be the greatest years of ministry in the history of this local church, then act like it. Don't get less involved. Get more involved. Pandemics, wars, persecution, or any other crisis, or any other shaking, has never been able to penetrate what is true, the true church. Not able to. We are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In Jesus' name, plan for what you expect. Plan to be on the cutting edge of apostolic ministry and disciple making. Plan to serve the greatest number of families in the history of this church. Plan for expansion, both in the physical campus as well as in the influence across the area and surrounding counties and beyond. There's one thing that is for sure. This pandemic did not surprise God. This current war did not surprise God. He knows exactly what is going to happen and when it's going to happen. He knows how the world is going to respond. He also knows how this local church will respond. Fear is reactive. We react because we're afraid. Faith is not reactive. Faith is active. You didn't catch that. Fear reacts. Faith acts. God wants the church to act in faith, not react in fear. I'm not praying because I'm afraid of what the enemy's doing. I'm praying because I know what God can do. I'll just pause it here and say this real quick and move on. There is a great need in these last days right now for great boldness and courage. It's the call of the hour from God. He wants a church that's bold. Question, what adjustments do you need to make to better love God and to better love people? Whatever they are, just do it. God will continue to lead you. Don't be afraid of what things may look like or what others will say. Trust the leadership God has given you. Helen Keller made a powerful statement. She said, the only thing that's worse than being blind is having sight without vision. God help us to understand, to perceive, to know what God is doing. You see, vision is the ability to understand what He's doing and what He desires to do, regardless of what things may look like. I may see obstacles. I may see things hindering. I may see things blocking. But if I know God wants to go beyond those hindrances, faith will get you there. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no understanding, people will come apart. I not only have confidence in the God that's leading you, but I have great confidence and faith in your leadership. I also believe this. There's no one in this worship service this morning. There's no one watching over live stream that's just doing it by chance. You may not even be an official member of this church yet. However, you feel drawn here for some reason. Why is that? Because God is drawing you. God has not changed. He is calling each of us to be willing, however, to make whatever changes we need to make to align ourselves with His plan and His purpose. So many of us want God to fit our plans. But what would ever happen if we ask God to allow us to fit his plans? What is he doing? Hear me, please. There is a fresh calling from God right now for boldness and for courage. If God is calling us, it's also his will for us to trust not just him, but his leadership and what he says, regardless of what that may be. Courage and boldness is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to unify, mobilize, and move forward in the face of fear. What did David say? I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. You know how David conquered his fear? One step at a time. You know how you're going to conquer your fear? Moving forward, not going backwards. So I close with this. What's God's will and plan for every human being on the face of the earth? He does have a plan for every single person that is alive. Let me read it to you. You can stand if you would right now. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this now. Who desires for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will for every single person in this room today. He wants you saved. How many of you, after you were born again, came to a lot of understanding that you did not know? So the first step is, he wants you born again. But it doesn't stop there. He then wants you to come to an understanding of his truth, of his word. So I ask the question as I close. I ask two questions. So what's changed? The church is still the church. God's plan is still God's plan. So then the next question is, have you been born again of water and spirit? Because God's will for your life is to first be saved. And then once you reach that born again experience, to begin understanding what is true and live your life accordingly. Acts 2, verse 38 through 42. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, watch this, save yourselves. Well, I thought only God could save us. True. What he's saying there is, do what you have to do to walk in obedience to God's word. Save yourselves from this perverse. And if there has ever been a perverse generation in the history of the world, it is now. Then those, watch, who gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 souls. But it didn't stop there. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So what's changed? This message that I just read to you, that was preached by the Apostle Peter on the very first day of the church, is as current and is as relevant today as it was the day the church was first born. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Will you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Come on, will you call upon his name? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you just back that out right now? I'm not going to do it from back there. Just in the back. Yeah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So what's changed? What's going to be your response today? Do you need to repent of your sins? Repentance is not something you do once in your life. Repentance is something you do continually as you align yourself with His will. So what's changed? So what are you holding on to that you know you should have already given Him? So what's changed? What did you know back in your earlier time of living for God was right and you practiced, but somehow now that you've come back, it doesn't quite have the same importance? Has God's word changed? Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. Do you know you need the Holy Ghost? Do you know you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? Do you know there's things that need cleaned up in your life? Maybe in your house. Maybe in your closet. Listen, I'm not trying to be hard and I'm not trying to be mean here today. I'm just trying to let you know that we are living in a serious time. We are in the very last of the very last days. And our world right now is being shaken. Do you know you belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken? So I'm going to open this altar up today. I probably have preached longer than I should have. And I know we've got to, some of us anyways, we've got to get to Ashtabula. But I want to open this altar up right now. I just wonder if there couldn't be just some fresh commitment in the house today. God, I want your will. I want your will. I want to be the person you've called me to be. There are some services and some messages you just feel like running the aisles and you just feel like shouting and dancing. It's not the way it is today. We can ignore this, what God is doing, and just try to make it loud. But I want to tell you, God is talking to hearts here today. Please feel the liberty, praise team, if you want to go to the altar. In fact, you can shut the music completely down. Not because I want you to, but feel free. I just feel like we just need to make this altar open today. Come on. Do you need the Holy Ghost today? There are things that you need to repent for or repent from. That means to make an about face. Are there things that you need to lay on the altar? Will you kill it before you get up and walk away? In the name of Jesus. Yeah, why don't we just, let's just, everybody come on down. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What about this world do you relate to? Maybe that's where you need to start today. What about this world that has you fixed on it? Maybe that's where we need to start today. If you're leaders in this house and you know there are new people at this altar, please, you've been trained, you know how to minister to them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, leaders, be sensitive. You know who's new at this altar today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, holy God. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. God can renew you in the Holy Ghost right now. You can leave this altar never to be the same again. Come on, just open your voice right now and begin to talk to Him. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.